Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I am your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at NBA Sound System, at FNTSY Radio on the Twitter, and if you really want to, at Is It The Welsh, my partner in crime here on the Takeaways. Fun weekend we had in basketball, and I hope everyone is having a great Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. We've got a big slate of basketball played all day for you guys, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, I hope you guys saw that Lakers and Rockets game, because I sure did. And my neighbors know about Eric Gordon hitting that three to send it into overtime the other night, because it looked like the Rockets were going to lose another one. I was just unbelievably pumped. You know, James Harden has been taking over, but getting Eric Gordon back and for a full game, because the last one he played, he didn't play into overtime against Brooklyn, and the Rockets wound up losing. But that was a lot of fun. That was kind of my weekend with the NBA, was watching that Rockets over the Lakers. The Rockets definitely climbed the mountain on that game. I mean, they were down basically the entire game. I think they got their first lead actually in overtime. So, but it was weird. Luke Walton got bounced. He was screaming at the referees about something. So he got bounced fairly early in that one. I think it was in the second quarter. And the Lakers had the lead. Obviously, they are LeBron-less. The Rockets don't have Clint Capella right now. It's and Chris Paul is still out as well. So it was definitely a fun game of weaker squads. Everyone is a little bit shorthanded right now, but Rockets needed to get that win after that brutal loss to Brooklyn. I was not unconsolable, but I was very, very upset at that loss. I mean, that was one of those where I turned the TV off and I'm done for the night. Like, I just can't do it. I got to find something else to do. But we had all kinds of other stuff going on in the NBA this weekend, including this amazing Oklahoma City versus Philly game that came down to the last shot that Paul George knocked down. Just a huge shot. He had 31 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. You know, Westy actually fouled out, but he was great in this game, 21, 10, and 6 as well. It, just such a good game. Very, very competitive. Came down to the wire. Just a great one to watch, but we're not talking about Paul George's shot here. We're talking about the weird dust-up that was between Joel Embiid and Russell Westbrook. Now, these are two of the NBA's most popular stars, so it's good to see them. You know, we didn't see a fist fight or anything, but we saw them, you know, like there's going to be a heated rivalry here, and they play again on February 28th. So that's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. But in this game, it was very strange. Russell Westbrook was going up for a shot. Embiid was behind him trying to block it. They both went to the ground, and Embiid, like, Westbrook was kind of sideways and falling towards the seats, and Embiid was, like, right on top of him. And Embiid kind of landed on top of Westbrook, and that was what happened. And then there was this weird, like, Westbrook was on the ground. I don't know if he got the wind knocked out of him or what, but he stood back up, and then he acted like he was going to go charge at Joel Embiid for, you know, knocking him down or whatever. And then his, you know, his teammates held him back. They did the classic, you know, oh, hold me back, hold me back. But that was very weird. Embiid was like, what are you talking about? So after the game, they were talking about this with Westbrook, and they asked him, you know, what do you think happened here? Like, why were you so upset? He said, well, when we were going to the ground, I think Embiid gave it a little extra, you know? And, like, I don't know how you're going to do that, how you are going to, you know, decide midair that you are going to fall on top of this guy. The fall was so fast. You guys would have to go on Twitter and find it. I'm sure the NBA has it somewhere. But the NBA Twitter, that is, has it. But just go look for it. It's just very strange. I don't think Embiid could have found a way to go to decide to fall onto Westbrook in midair. I just don't think that that is something that is a possibility. So, but anyway, they asked Westbrook, you know, are you cool with Embiid now? And he said, F no. So there you have it. He's not okay with Joel Embiid. And then they asked, Joel Embiid about it. And he said, I don't know why he was mad. I have no idea, but he's always in his feelings. So I have no idea. And I love that. And I don't know if it's coming through the microphone right now, but I am definitely smirking because as you guys have heard, I do like to call people crybabies when they're being crybabies. And, you know, sometimes you get upset about something, you complain about it, and you're justified. You're still kind of being a crybaby. That's just the way it is. And Westbrook was called out by Embiid for being a crybaby here, and he absolutely was. So I think that this next game, I wish this could be a playoff series. That would be so much fun to watch because, I mean, Westbrook has a problem with everybody. You know, it's almost funny. There are things that it's like, well, you know, when you run into a jerk in the morning, you run into a jerk in the morning. But when you run into jerks all day, you're the jerk. That's kind of how it goes. And, you know, Westbrook has problems with Durant. He's got problems with Patrick Beverley. I mean, a lot of people have problems with Patrick Beverley, so that's a two-way street. And Joel Embiid is a smack talker. So part of it, you know, Joel Embiid, he knows he's a bully. He knows he's a jerk. So, but I like riling it up. So I was happy to see that, and I will be waiting to see that game on leap year there, February 28th. So that should be a good one. Speaking of bullying, and that's not a term to be used loosely here in 2019, but it has been recently. And John Calipari said that Jimmy Butler bullied Cat. That was his comment the other day. I don't know if you guys saw that. You know, Karl Anthony Towns played for Calipari at Kentucky, and they know each other very well. So he was sticking up for his guy. But if you think Jimmy Butler is not going to have something to say when his name comes out of your mouth, you are sorely mistaken. He said, I don't think bully is a good word. I tell it how it is. Whenever I was in college, I had Buzz Williams, that was his coach at Marquette, to tell me how it was. I didn't have a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans like Calipari has, so he can look at it in a different way. If I'm a bully, I'm going to bully him too. I'll tell him how I feel, just like I tell anyone else. That's what he responded to when they asked him, would you say this to Calipari? He said, I don't care if he's some big head coach. I'm not bullying nobody. I'm just keeping it real. Some of these guys aren't used to it. When you have as much talent as Towns has had throughout his life, guys don't keep it real with him, and I do. And you know what? This has been a problem in I've always kind of said this. Like, you know, you have these guys, and I'm not saying this about Cat because I don't know. I'm not close enough to the situation to really have an established opinion on Cat's situation and if he's coddled or if Jimmy Butler was bullying him. I mean, there's all kinds of off the court stuff that they said that was going on that is not keeping it real. It's just being a jerk. But I don't know if those things are true, so I won't mention them. But anyway, I digress. When dealing with these players that have been, like Jimmy Butler said here, they've been so good for so long and so many people tell them that they're the man, you know, eventually those guys, those people are going to start buying into their own hype. And I think that that is what Jimmy Butler was trying to say here. He said, look, you know, I told him how it was. That's not, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying what the bottom line is. And that can come off as abrasive, especially when people have been told they're the man that their whole life. That's part of the reason why I don't particularly like meeting athletes. Now, I've never had a problem with an NBA athlete. that I can remember. And I used to work at a grocery store in Scottsdale, and I'd have all the NBA players come through my line. So they were always very nice to me. Stephon Marbury, I was working at a grocery store when Marbury bought all of this stuff for his house in Arizona. He just drove up, parked his car. I mean, they had like three or four baskets full of just everything you could possibly need when you're moving into a house. And yeah, he just couldn't be nicer. He's asking me where stuff was. I showed him where it was, and I rang him out, and just the nicest guy ever. And then Sean Marion came in. My boss carded Sean Marion. I'm like, do you not recognize who this guy is? Come on. It's Sean Marion. He's 6'7". Who else could it be? Let's go. But anyway, I digress. I've never had a problem with an NBA player, but with sports players meeting them, you know, sometimes they big time you. And you kind of have to, you have to take fan experiences with players with a grain of salt. You know, I mean, these guys get hounded every day for stuff. They may be having a bad day. You may have hit them at the wrong time. You know, whatever can happen. So sometimes you have to just give guys benefit of the doubt. Now, if you hear over and over and over that one guy is, you know, not nice, and, you know, maybe you start believing that stuff, then the rumors then of this guy being a jerk or whatever. But that is kind of, you know, the cat thing, what Jimmy Butler is trying to articulate there, and what I'm having a difficult time saying here, is those guys buy into themselves and they start thinking they're the man, and they quit working as hard. Well, who are you going to respect more than an NBA All-Star, a team leader, a guy like Jimmy Butler who's been there and done it before? So I think that it just didn't work out between him and Cat for whatever reason. I'm not saying that Cat has been coddled. I have no idea. I'm not saying that Jimmy Butler is abrasive. I have no idea. I can tell you that it seems like Jimmy Butler is extremely passionate. So that can rub guys the wrong way when they just don't have it in them as much as another guy does. So I thought this was really dumb of John Calipari to jump in here and say that stuff, because there's no way he can know about it. And if he does know about it from things that Cat has told him, there's no way he knows both sides. So very weird story there. But Jimmy Butler in the news, Joel Embiid and Russell Westbrook in the news. Fun weekend in the NBA. We had some more stuff. We had Luka Doncic get booted from his first game ever. He had never been tossed in a game in Europe. This is so weird. I guess he kicked a ball and it went into the stands, and that was his second tech. And apparently, if a ball goes into the stands, you're just done. You get ejected anyway. I don't think he didn't do the Jackie Moon, right, where he grabbed the ball and drop kicked it and it went up into the third deck or anything. I think he was trying to kick it up towards himself. I wasn't watching the game, so I didn't see it. But anyway, he said, I didn't try to kick the ball out of the stands. He said, I didn't know what the rule was. If it goes into the stands, you get ejected. It's different rules in Europe, so I didn't know that that was a rule. I know it was my fault. I learned a new thing today, which is, you know, Rick Carlisle said that he talked to him, and they kind of have a good understanding of what to do and what not to do. I mean, how many balls did he kick in the stands in Europe? That's what I want to know. Like, that's kind of a poor excuse. You shouldn't be kicking basketballs up into the stands. That's just not how things are done anywhere, not here. So that was just a weird, funny story that happened with Doncic. But there was more Mavericks news, of course, because Dennis Smith Jr. has been away from the team. There's been some, I don't know, murmuring about trades going on with Dennis Smith Jr. He doesn't seem to fit very well in Dallas, which is very weird. I think this is the first year that I can remember of guys just leaving their teams. They're just, I'm not going to play. That's it. And teams kind of putting up with it. I guess, you know, it seems like the other times that they have reached an agreement, like with Carmelo and the Rockets, they said, hey, look, we're going to try to find a trade for you so you don't need to show up until we do, you know, or we decide to release you. And that has been agreed on. And you know, things of that nature. It's just very weird to see guys staying away from their own team. But Rick Carlisle said, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know one thing. This kid is a team guy, and he loves being with his teammates, and he really respects his teammates. This is just my feeling, is that he's been told to stay away for whatever reason. I just don't want people out there to think he is snubbing the Mavs or anything like that. This is just my opinion. I believe there's business stuff going on, and he's being told to stay away. Listen, if that's what they feel is in his best interest, he should trust his advisors, but it's unlike him to not want to be with his teammates. And we are going to get a solution to that, because on Tuesday for the Mavericks' next game, he is going to come back and play. And he's going to go right back in the rotation, Carlisle said. So he actually said this after those comments were, I believe those were Friday or Saturday morning. He said, I'm excited to announce Dennis Smith Jr. will rejoin the team on Tuesday. Dennis and I spoke at length today. He is feeling better and plans to resume workouts in preparation for his return. There will be no further updates until Tuesday. And Dennis Smith Jr. said, I'm thrilled to rejoin my teammates. I'm feeling better and had a great workout today. It has been difficult to be away, but I look forward to being back on the court and helping my team win. Now, the initial absence was because of illness. I think he had the flu. So he was away from his team, and that was what was still listed for the last game he missed, was illness. So I know that they're trying to work a trade, and if something can get done, I think it will get done. But I just don't think when you have, like, Dennis Smith is a good player. Maybe he doesn't fit with what's going on right now, but you do have to get back, you know, decent return value for a guy like DSJ. He's going to go somewhere, and he's going to fit, and he's going to play very, very well. So if they think they're getting lowballed, you know, they play him not with Doncic, play him fewer minutes, but get him out there and, you know, get him going. So I think that this is a good thing that he's coming back, and we're going to see Dennis Smith Jr. back in action. And you know what? That could possibly lead to a trade quicker rather than later. A couple other guys in trade rumors here. The first one I saw was that the Raptors are looking for a shooting guard and that Bradley Beal might be on their short list. I don't know what they would have to give up to give Beal. And I also think that this is kind of someone trying to kickstart the trade rumors, because I even said it on the Friday show that I can't believe we're not getting more rumors. The trade deadline is February 7th. I mean, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. We're getting closer and closer and closer. So some guys, some big name players are going to be moving teams, and we just don't have the proper rumors that I can talk about on the show yet. Give me some rumors. I want them. So we have to go to the Frank Ntilikina rumor here, and the Magic and the Suns are the ones asking about him, which is no surprise. You know, we talked about Dennis Smith Jr., possibly getting moved, and how Orlando would make a lot of sense because DJ Augustine is a bit older. They need to, you know, get some young blood in there. And we talked about how the Magic aren't really, they're kind of in the middle, and they need to make a move one way or the other. So they need to acquire a point guard. I think that's the best thing that they could do. Frank Ntilikina, obviously not as good offensively as the Knicks wanted right now, but he is still a very, very good defender. He's got that you know, long wingspan. That was his big thing coming into the draft, was he's a good defender, and the offensive game was developing. The offensive game hasn't completely and wholly developed yet, but it's getting there. So I think this makes sense. I mean, you know, we beat the Suns need a point guard to death for a while. Devin Booker acting as the pseudo point guard is working for now. I just don't think that that's a long-term option. I think it's good that he gets those passing skills under his belt. So, you know, I think it's always good when you're not winning games to learn something else. So I think that's good for Devin Booker's long-term viability and overall game. But that team needs a point guard pretty bad. So that's the closest thing to a real rumor that we've actually had as of recent. I mean, trust me, guys, I'm looking at him. I'm like an addict over here. I'm like Tyrone Biggums. Y'all got any more of them trade rumors? I want to talk about them, but they're not coming along. I mean, the Grizzlies owner Robert Parra met with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, and a lot of people are, you know, thinking that he's probably saying, hey, look, we're going to look for a trade partner for you guys. Those guys have both been there for a very long time. They mean a lot to the Grizzlies organization. So I think this is kind of just a courtesy saying, hey, look, you know, I think it would be best for both sides if we could, you know, if Marc Gasol could go to a contender, Mike Conley could go to a contender, and the, you know, the Grizzlies get some picks back or something, because once again, it's tough to be in the middle, and they're not really in the middle right now. They're 14th in the West, and they are a sinking ship right now as far as wins go. I'm not saying that they couldn't get it back on track, because, you know, the West is still fairly clumped together. I mean, you look at the playoff teams here. You know, Golden State is back up at first, and we'll talk about DeMarcus Cousins in a second, of course. I didn't forget about that. But they're first. All the way through Sacramento at 10 is 8 games back, but then 11 through 14 are 13 games back. That's only, you know, they're 6 games out of a playoff spot right now, the Grizzlies. They're a game and a half back at Dallas, who's at 13, and, you know, they're still closer to a playoff spot than they are to the Suns, because the Suns' record has been so bad. But it's... it doesn't look like it's going to get straightened out this season. And they have other problems with Chandler Parsons still being on the roster. They got to shed that contract at some point. So we may see, I know Gasol is a short deal. Maybe him and Parsons go in a deal to get some money off the cap. That could be something. Mike Conley, we just mentioned those teams. I don't think that the Suns wouldn't want a Mike Conley. He's a bit old, and they are in a true rebuild. But Orlando right now is 3 games back of a playoff spot. So if Conley wound up in Orlando, that could be a decent spot for him as well. Miami, with Dragic being hurt for a big chunk of the rest of the season, could be a landing spot as well. So, you know, and then there's the other good teams up here, Indiana, Milwaukee, still leading up in the East. So, There are some spots. There's going to be some availability. And like I said, we got to get this rumors churning. They got to start happening. One move that did happen the other night was that Kenneth Faried was bought out by the Nets, and he has agreed to a deal with the Rockets. Now, nothing signed yet, because the Rockets have to clear a roster spot to bring Kenneth Faried on. The Rockets right now are in desperate need of some front court help, with Capella being hurt. You know, Nene is a great player, but he is older. He just can't give the minutes that he used to be able to. He's a very smart player, and he's very good, but it's just, you know, he just can't hold out as long as he used to. So bring in some youth, because Marquese Chris is not working. Isaiah Hartenstein is still a bit young. So, someone's going to have to get cut, or they're going to have to find a trade partner to take on Melo. So we'll see what happens there. That move should be happening, I would think, hopefully by Monday or Tuesday. But we'll see how long that takes. But that is all but done. Faried is going to be on the Rockets. Now let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins, because DeMarcus Cousins had a great debut. It annoys me to say, because, you know, this is the rich getting richer, of course, and the Warriors are already back in first. And I told you a couple weeks ago, they look dangerous. And on Friday night, DeMarcus Cousins made his debut. He actually fouled out. He played enough minutes to foul out, but he only played 15 minutes. And he had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block. He was 5 of 11. 3 threes, and 1 for 2 from the line. Like I said, he did foul out in that game. But, I mean, he did not look like a dude coming off an Achilles injury. He looked quick. His first basket of the game was just this rip-roaring dunk that I believe Draymond hit him when he was running down the lane. It was very, very impressive. I mean, I would almost say unbelievably impressive from a dude coming off Achilles surgery. And he was pushing for more minutes or to come back a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. You know, they play tonight on MLK Day. That is the game where the refs are going to be tweeting with the fans. That's the 10:30 Eastern game, 7:30 Pacific, Golden State at the Lakers. So we'll see how many minutes he gets in there, or if they are going to baby him and give him minutes in a game, but give him the next game off, even if they're not back-to-backs. We don't know how they're going to handle DeMarcus Cousins as of now, but it's scary. That team, obviously scary. I mean, this result wasn't, 112-94 is, the 18-point game is not as bad of a beating as it actually was. I mean, this game was wrapped up midway through the third. So the Clippers had a nice little push coming back, but Golden State in the fourth, they didn't need DeMarcus Cousins that much. So just an impressive debut from DeMarcus Cousins, and I just shudder to think how dominant this team is going to be down the stretch. So we will see. It's going to be scary. But I did get some responses from remember we were talking about the G League uniform, and I was asking for some submissions, what you guys would think would be good for a G League uniform. And I love this one. Bryce Wong on Twitter said that Jurassic Park night up in Toronto, get an all black jersey and slap on the Jurassic Park movie logo from the 90s. Call it a day after that. And then I put there was a guy driving one of those mini power wheels that looks like a Jeep from Jurassic Park. And I said, roll up in these bad boys, too. Can you imagine all those NBA players? They'd have to make them a little bit bigger than this regular dude that's probably my size in there. And then my guy Mayfield on Twitter said, how about you do two jerseys in one night and do the Jordans versus the Monstars in, from Space Jam. So pretty good submissions here, but Space Jam Monstars versus Toon Squad in Jurassic Park. I like those. If you guys have some more, hit me with them at Bogman Sports on Twitter. Let's take a look at the slate of MLK Day games. It is going to be a fun one. And like I said, it is starting all day at 12:30 in the afternoon. OKC is at New York City. Oklahoma City favored by 9. Yeah, I think that's probably about right. Oklahoma City's been playing fairly well. Just beat Philly. I think that, we do get the legend of Enes Kanter returning to the court here. So I'm excited about that because it's been almost a whole show that I went without talking about my guy Enes Kanter. And we can't have that. We need some weird stuff going on with him. Someone send him some cheeseburgers or something. It'll be fun and entertaining. How about a lottery battle here? At 1 o'clock on the East Coast, Chicago goes to Cleveland. Chicago's favored by 2. They just lost Wendell Carter Jr. There were a bunch of injuries. I didn't even get to that over this weekend. I mean, we had Alonzo Ball rolled his ankle real bad in that Rockets game. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That was a bad sprain. AD is out 1 to 2 weeks with a finger sprain. Wendell Carter Jr., thumb surgery, he could miss up to 3 months, and Andre Drummond is in concussion protocol, so just a bad weekend for injuries. But Chicago at Cleveland, Chicago's favored by 2 with no Wendell Carter Jr. I think I'm still going to take them. Cleveland has been playing some rank basketball as of late, so I just can't. When was the last time Cleveland won a game? Now I have to go look. I can't remember when it was. I know it was more recent than I think because they've only lost 3 straight. They beat the Lakers 101-95 on the 13th, but after that, their most recent win was December 18th. They almost went a month between victories. So it is not looking good for Cleveland. The other games we got here, Dallas on the road at Milwaukee. Milwaukee by 11.5. I don't like road Dallas, so I'll take Milwaukee. Detroit at Washington with no line. I'll go with Detroit in that one. Orlando at Atlanta. Give me Orlando. Sacramento at Brooklyn. Brooklyn by 3. They've been playing very well. Give me Brooklyn. New Orleans at Memphis with no AD. Give me Memphis. Miami at Boston. Boston favored by 8. Yeah, give me Boston. Kyrie's playing well. Philly is hosting Houston. Yeah, Philly by five. No Capella. That's a tough one. Portland at Utah. Give me Utah. And Golden State at the Lakers. Give me Golden State. But that's everything I got for you guys at NBA Sound System, at FNTSY Radio, at Bachman Sports on the Twitter. Have a great NBA day, everybody.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.